Punjabi Hari.
Shivaya Paramahansa Shivaya Vajrajaya Sita Sera Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Shikavapada Ki Jaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, verses 41 and 42. So I'll read 41 and then we can chant 42 together. Tanarada priyatamo rikta danamanu vata shishu samana shilena pashayanatamena cha. Translation, Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly follows the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. Verse 42. Mayam vivi sidam vishnor. Maye shasya maha mani. Maha bhagavata rajan. Pitaram payato sayet. Mayam vivishiram vishno. Mayesha samaha muni. Mahabhagavata rajam. Pitaram payato sayet. Mayam vivishiram vishno. Mayesha Shemaha Muni Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Payato Shaya Chan
Mayam Vivesam Vishnu
Mayam Vivesam Vishnu
Mayesha Shemaha Muni
Mayesha Shemaha Muni
of
the master of all energies.
Mahamuni,
the great sage.
Mahabhagavata,
the first class devotee of the Lord.
Rajan,
O king. Pitaram, unto his father. Prayato Syat. Very much pleased. And translation by Srila Prabhupada. Narada very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies. For Narada was the greatest of all sages and greatest of all devotees, O King. Purport. Lord Brahma, being the creator of all living beings in the universe, is originally the father of several well-known sons, like Daksha, the Chatusanas, and Narada. In three departments of human knowledge disseminated by the Vedas, namely fruit of work, Karmakanda, transcendental knowledge, Gyanakanda, and devotional service, Upasana Kanda, Devarshi Narada inherited from his father Brahma devotional service, whereas Daksha inherited from his father fruitive work, and Sanak Sanatan, etc., inherited from their father information about Gyanakanda, or transcendental knowledge. But out of them all, Narada is described here as the most beloved son of Brahma because of good behavior, obedience, meekness, and readiness to render service unto the Father. And Narada is famous as the greatest of all sages because of his being the greatest of all devotees. Narada is the spiritual master of many famous devotees of the Lord. He is the spiritual master of Prahlad, Dhruva, and Vyas, down to the forest animal hunter, Kirata. His only business is to turn everyone to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, all these features of Narada make him the dearmost son of his father. And all this is due to Narada's being a first-class devotee of the Lord. The devotees are always anxious to know more and more about the Supreme Lord, master of all energies, as confirmed Bhagavad Gita 10.9. Machita makata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyanta shaman nityam tushanti charaman icha. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, and his energies are also unlimited. No one can know them completely. Brahmaji, being the greatest living entity within this universe and being directly instructed by the Lord, must know more than anyone within this universe, although such knowledge may not be complete. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to ask about the unlimited Lord from the spiritual master in the cyclic succession of Brahma, which descends from Narada to Vyas, and Vyas to Shukadev, and so on. Om Agyana Timarandasya Agyanam Sarasarakaya Chakshamiritam Yena Tassarai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, before I say anything, I was just, when I was reading this purport, a thought came to my mind that how Srila Prabhupada is like Narada Muni. That he got the lowest of the low. There was one person, it was in France. And Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk, and all of a sudden from the bushes, this hippie jumped and was trying to get Prabhupada's feet. And the devotees took him and threw him back in the bushes. And then when they came back to the temple, who did they find? The temple door was open, and there was this person, and he grabbed Prabhupada's feet. And he was completely dirty, and he couldn't even speak. He couldn't say a word. He was so out of it. And Prabhupada was rubbing his head and saying, "It's all right, it's all right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." So then this person, he wouldn't leave the temple. So the devotee said, "Oh, well, he got Prabhupada's mercy, let's keep him." So they cleaned him up, and he looked okay, but he still couldn't speak properly. So they named him Pigpen. And so then he was cleaning the temple. He was very good at cleaning the temple. And so then it was Indradyumna Swami was taking a party out on book distribution. And Pigpen went and jumped in the front seat of the van. And he said, Miko Sankirtan, Miko Sankirtan. So then, Indradim Swami, okay, you can clean the van for us. So then, the first day of book distribution, he grabbed some books, put them in his book bag, and ran out the door. And they said, oh, well, let's see what happens. He came back, all the books were gone, and he said he sold them. And they asked, what did you tell? Prabhupada saved me, Prabhupada saved me. That's all he said. Wow. And he started speaking, and he started giving classes. And recently, within a year or so, he came to Vrindavan and left his body in Vrindavan.
Who is he?
His name was Rasada. Yeah. So, Rasada. Yeah, he came to Vrindavan. He was in the hospice. Yeah, he was in the hospice.
He was.
Yeah, and he left. Now, that's an example of the lowest, I guess. And then the highest would be an example of, I think it was Radha Govinda Maharaj, who met Srila Prabhupada. He was already very learned in the Shastras. And when he met Srila Prabhupada, he didn't know who was Prabhupada. He just came in the door in Vrindavan, I believe it was. And so Prabhupada sat down and started talking to him. And Prabhupada was saying to him, you know, Lord Chaitanya is not the Supreme Personality of God. He's not Krishna.
Or Radha Govinda.
Yes, well, I said Radha Govinda.
Yeah,
I said that.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Radha Govinda. So then Radha Govinda got so angry. He said, no, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And he was chastising Prabhupada. And then some other devotees came and they offered obeisance to Prabhupada, and then Radha Govinda Maharaj said, uh-oh. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, he was chastising. He said, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And so, yeah, so here's an example of a higher grade person taking up Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada was like Narada Muni, and he accepted the lowest and the highest as his disciples. And so we're hearing some good qualities of Narada Muni. How did he become Narada Muni in his previous life? He was telling the story to Vyas. He said, in the last millennium, that's the day before, Brahma's day before, not our day before, I was born as a son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmanas who are following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during 4 months of rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. So Prabhupada in his lecture called him Dasi Putra. It means he didn't know who his mother was. His father. Didn't know who his father was. He was a small boy, 4 or 5 years old, and he didn't know his father, but he became Narada Muni in his next life. And so Srila Prabhupada said, devotee is so important. If anyone gives a little service, he becomes elevated to spiritual life. And so Prabhupada was telling boy, bring me this, do this, wash my cloth, set up my bedding, wash this dish. So Prabhupada said, devotional service is so powerful that, yes, by doing this little service, he was blessed to become Narada Muni. So then Narada described, he said, I was self-controlled. I had no attachment for sports. Even though I was a boy, I was not naughty and did not speak more than required. So Dante, he controlled the senses, Anuvartini, whatever they told him, he immediately did. Chakra Kripam, they gave mercy. Tulya Darshan, although merciful to everyone, they gave him mercy. When Narada, he was sincerely engaged in the service of saintly persons, then they gave him special favor. So we got that special favor, all of us, of Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, how could we worship Krishna? We didn't know Krishna. I had no idea that I was going to be a devotee of Krishna, and that was my life. I never planned for that. Of course, in high school, they asked, what do you want to be? There's all these careers, and I said, I don't want to do any of them. But maybe that was a sign, I don't know. I didn't do any of them either. I chose something that was not on the list. I was a musician, it wasn't on the list. So, yeah. But then I got even better. I got to be a devotee because of serving Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada talks about the quality Narada Alpabhashini, very grave, And don't talk unnecessarily. So then he talks about, once only I took the remnants of their food, and by doing so, all my sins were at once eradicated. And then the transcendental nature became attractive. So that happened to a lot of us. We got prasad, and that was, we became purified, and we started, liking the chanting and everything. It was very good for us. And so Srila Prabhupada said he wasn't educated, but just by eating the prasadam left by the devotees, he became so exalted. So then, by serving the Bhaktivedantas, he became pure devotee Narada. So we are serving the Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada, and we can also become elevated if we're faithful to his instructions. Now I want to talk a little bit about the preaching strategies of Narada Muni. We talked because in the purport we heard about different disciples of Narada. So Narada was preaching according to time, place, and circumstance. With each of his disciples, he used a different technique to inspire them. Like Prabhupada did that with us too. Time, place, and circumstances. So Radha Govinda Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada was testing him in a different way. Just like Narada Muni was testing Dhruva Maharaj. So Prabhupada explained that expert devotees discover novel ways and means to convert the non-devotees in terms of particular time and circumstances. Now, devotional service is dynamic activity. Expert devotees can find exciting ways to inject it into the dull brains of the materialistic population. That was Srila Prabhupada. And this is Narada Muni. Vyasadeva was lamenting. He wrote the Vedas, he wrote Vedanta, he wrote so many beautiful books, but he was not satisfied. So Narada Chas, why did you forget Krishna? The people in general want to enjoy, and you've encouraged them that way in the name of religion. And so Prabhupada calls it candy-coated medicine, the Vedas. You should present Krishna's pastimes. So in the Bhagavatam first canto, anartha pashaman sakshat bhakti yoga mahoksaje lokasya janata vibhans chakre sattvata sangitam. Material miseries of living entity, superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by devotional service. But the mass of people don't know this. So therefore, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So Dhruva, Narada used reverse psychology. You're just a little boy. You're attached to sports and games. Why you're affected by words insulting your honor? This dissatisfaction is due to Maya. It gives you karma, according to your previous life. Stories in the forest are difficult for anyone. So, and you're a kid. How can you do this? You just go back home. When you grow up, you can think about it. You should be satisfied, happiness and distress. So Dhruva, he said, you go. I'm staying. I'm going to do this. I want a kingdom better than my grandfather. So Prabhupada also used reverse psychology. When he was in New Vrindavan, there were some outside people, teenagers, who were revving up their motorcycles in some driveway, just close to Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. And the devotee said, okay, we'll go tell them to stop. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, if you tell them to stop, they'll do it more. So just leave them. So he didn't do that. And one of my god sisters used reverse psychology when she was distributing books. And she had a party of girls going out to distribute. And there was one Christian who was coming and interrupting the sales and saying, don't buy this book, don't buy this book. So then she said, okay, let me talk to him. So then she went to distribute a book, and this guy came up, and he started saying, don't take the book, no, this is bad. And so she said to the person, you know, today we're using reverse psychology. Whatever he says, you do the opposite. He's our Uncle Kamsa. So then she sold the books. Then after a little time, that person, Uncle Kamsa, became changed because, you know, after all, he was their uncle and he's bought a book too. So, yeah, reverse psychology sometimes works.
Who was that?
Huh?
Who was that?
Anand Manjari. Yeah, she was telling me all kinds of Sankirtan stories yesterday. Anyway, yeah, I don't think I should repeat them, but after class, if you like, you can ask me. Now, a king in the line of Dhruva, King Prachanabarhi, was too attached to performing animal sacrifice. So Dara showed him in the sky, just see all the animals you've killed. They're all waiting your death so they can avenge the injuries you've inflicted on them. After you die, they'll pierce your body with horns. So Srila Prabhupada said he wanted to convince the king that if there is just a small discrepancy in animal sacrifice, then you're responsible for killing the animal. And so, yes. In contrast to their father, King Prachanabarhi's sons, the Prachetas, were pure devotees. So Narada instructed them differently, pure devotional service. He said, Dayaya Sarabhuteshu Santushta Yena Kena Chit Sarvendriyo Pashantya Cha Tushyap Yashu Charadana. By showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other in controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana. So Prabhupada comments on this verse that everyone can benefit spiritually by chanting of Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, the trees, animals, and insects benefit. So when one chants Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. So in case you wondered how to do it, that's how. And to spread the Krishna conscious movement throughout the world, the devotees should be set aside in all conditions. So an example of, there's a lot of examples of Prabhupada's mercy to the insects, many examples. And one was my godbrother who is no longer with us, Nara Narayan. He was sitting across the table from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, do you see that ant? And he looked at the table, he didn't see it, and he didn't know what to say. He didn't want to say no because he'd look stupid, and he didn't want to say yes because it was a lie. So he kind of said something. And then Prabhupada said, you know what is your duty to that ant? Now he can't see it, now he's got a duty to it. And so Prabhupada said, your duty is to make that ant Krishna consciousness, and our Krishna conscious movement will be successful. Well, so anyway, yeah, so that was Srila Prabhupada. He told us Krishna is God. He came and you should surrender to him. And we said, yeah, why not Krishna? He's beautiful, he's got long hair, he's playing a flute like us. He's enjoying like we are. So yeah, why not Krishna? But in India, why Krishna? Why not Durga? Why not Shiva? Why not Ganesh? So Prabhupada was quoting this verse, Sarva Dharmam Pritya Jamami Kam Sharanamaja, surrender to me, give up all varieties of religion. And he said one time to us, you've already given up all varieties of religion, so just surrender to Krishna. But in India, there's so many dharmas, hard to give up. But here we didn't have dharma, really. We were so easy to surrender. So then Narada Muni saw the 10,000 sons of Daksha, the Haryashvas performing austerities to become good grihasthas. And he saw, oh, they're so purified, why should they waste their life? Why should they become entangled? Let me liberate them. And so he narrated an analogy illustrating the futility of enjoyment, convincing them to renounce the world to find the super soul. He said, you should ignore the instructions of your father, Daksha, and follow the instructions of your real father, the Shastras. So this is the teaching of the Shastras, and the Haryashas followed that path. So Daksha lamented, all my sons left. Okay, then he begot 1,000 more sons called Shavalasvas. They also went to perform austerities, and they were chanting prayers to the Lord Om Namo Narayanaya Purushaya Mahatmane Vishuddhisattva Vishnyaya Mahahamsaya Dhimahi. Let us offer our respectful obeisance to Narayan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, always situated in his transcendental abode. Let us offer him respectful obeisances. So Narada came, preached to them, but he didn't preach the same way. He said, you should follow your brothers. Your brothers left, you should leave. You should follow them. Different preaching. And they were affectionate to their brothers, so they left also. Now this time, Daksha cursed Narada Muni. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. So Prabhupada said in the purport to the verse, this is 6543, in the Parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers around the world, I cannot stay more than 3 days. I don't stay. I travel the world 2 or 3 times a year. Wherever I go, cannot stay for more than 3 days or a week. And I don't mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it's necessary I must stay in one place and translate. Of course, he never got that. You know, he said, I'd like to transfer my curse to my disciples, but he never got that chance. So how did Prabhupada take this example of Narada Muni, follow your brothers? Prabhupada brought us to India because the Indians wanted to follow the Americans in the 70s. And so he said, okay, now Americans are chanting and dancing. Well, you should follow them. And one time, Star TV, it's a big Eastern TV station, came and interviewed me when I was in Vrindavan. And they said, why did you leave the Western country, America, so opulent, and come to this village? What for? And so I said, because there is something that I didn't find in all the skyscrapers and the advanced civilization, something, treasure you can find here that you won't find there. And that is love of Krishna. And so, yes, this is a fact. The Indians did take us seriously. It was a little bit of a challenge in the beginning. They thought we were CIA or hippies or something like that. But then finally, they became convinced, especially when we got our opulent temples. That helped. When we're just in austere conditions, that people didn't take us so seriously. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to build these temples. He said, because some people were challenging him in Mayapur, why are you building these things? He said, if I sat under a tree, nobody will come. So therefore, I have built these temples. Yeah, one time it was, all that was there in Mayapur was the Lotus Building. And there was a tour group from Russia who somehow came to Mayapur in the middle of all, it was just all fields that time, nothing. All fields and this one building looked really cool. And they came to see the Lotus Building. And of course the deities were there too. So the next one was Chitraketu. Narada waited till the death of his son to enlighten him about the temporary nature of relationships in this world. Chitraketu lost his son. And of course, he tried the same with Daksha when he was lamenting the loss of his sons, but Daksha didn't accept it. Then Narada preached to Prahlad's mother. Well, Prahlad was in her womb. And when her husband, Hiranyakashipu, went to perform austerities, the demigods captured her, and they wanted to kill her baby because they thought a big demon is here. No, she prayed, and Narada Muni came and stopped them and took her to his ashram and instructed her and Prahlad Maharaj. And then, of course, in the purport is mentioned Megari the hunter. With Megari, Narada used a gradual approach. She said, don't half kill the animals, kill them completely. That was his first instruction. And then Megari was astonished. Then Narada showed him the animals who were ready to attack him as soon as he died. And then Megari surrendered, and Narada said, okay, break your bow and I'll take care of you. So the same thing happened In the beginning, our devotees, example is Shyamasundar. He was carving Jagannath, the first Jagannath deities. At the same time, he was smoking cigarettes. And Prabhupada came in one day to see how he was doing, and there a pack of cigarettes was on Balaram's head. And Prabhupada said, I think he knocked them off, and he said, "Why should you let such a small thing get in the way of you and Krishna, your relationship?" He said, "You just stop smoking one every day, one less every day." And so Shyamasundar did that. So Prabhupada used that gradual approach too. And in the first initiation, 26 Second Avenue, no one shaved their head or changed their dress or offered Guru Dakshina. And they'd even relieve him of his chores. He was cooking and washing the dishes. He didn't try to force anyone to do anything. And some of them didn't even know until after initiation about the four regative principles. So when they asked Prabhupada after initiation about, you know, meat eating, Prabhupada's reply was, "I'm very glad you're finally asking me that." So, yeah, very gradual approach there, Prabhupada. And so, as Narada Muni did, so Prabhupada did, and because of his preaching, we are here today. Somehow or other, something attracted us to his Hare Krishna and Prabhupada and deity worship. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. You can ask this time. Yes. Where is the microphone? No, here. Oh, is there somebody over there? I didn't see. Okay. Prime Govinda, and then somebody, you have a question? No.
I was thinking, when he quoted that verse, Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu Santushta Jena Kenava Sarvendriya Pasantaya Tushyati Asu Janardana. One Christian missionary, many years back in the shop, he said, "Well, I do this. I distribute hot dogs to these poor and inflicted with this stormy weather place, and I'm satisfied. I'm controlling my senses." These three things in the verse he says. Mm-hmm. And Tushyati Asu Janardana, now Krishna will be satisfied. So my question to you, is Krishna satisfied with this man?
Is Krishna satisfied with this man?
Yeah, he's offering the violence food, hot dog.
Hot dog.
Yeah. He's not thinking that way, but he's thinking that he's helping the others, he's controlling his senses.
Right.
And he's satisfied in his mission.
We can look to Bhagavad Gita. The 12th chapter, there is a process. There are many processes, and it tells, if you can't do this, do this, you can't do this, do this. So what it looks to me like what he's doing is the last on the list.
Yeah, 11.
11. Is it 11?
Yeah.
That is 12, 11.
8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I can't find chapter 12 in here. Oh, here we are. It's a small one. So it says, if you can't work in this consciousness of me, so bhakti yoga or helping the devotees, try to act giving up all the results of your work and try to be self-situated. Sounds like he's in that category, but he's trying to give up the results of his work. And he can't do anything else, but at least he's on Krishna's list here. So...
Because I never found any acharya gave a purport like that. From that sloka that you are now seeing that. Prabhupada says that even those, like American young boy and girl, they sacrifice their life for the country. Prabhupada considered them there in the steps. It was like even far out.
Yeah. It just seems logical to me. Okay, you can't do anything as a devotee, then do something.
Yeah.
Renounce something. No, he's beginning the path. I think there is a story I heard that one mendicant was begging door to door. And one lady answered the door and she just gave him some ashes. And the man said, "Oh, very good, you've started." You gave something. So, yeah, it's hard to have the mentality of giving. Everybody wants to take, and not so many people want to give. So at least if you have a little bit of giving mentality, that's good. You might not know what's the best thing to give, but yeah, at least you're giving some of your things. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody else have a question or comment? Oh no, now Panchagoda is here. He has every class he gives a question in Vrindavan.
I gotta ask a question. So Narada Muni is Sri Kalagya, he understands past, present, future, he understands everything. So he was testing Dhruva Maharaj, and Dhruva Maharaj was claiming that, you know, he's not brahminically situated to follow
right.
all these brahminical instructions of Narada Muni.
Right.
The Kshatriya, and I think Prabhupada mentioned that there's a special point that it's not that one has to be born in a brahminical family in order to take this spiritual science, which has been a big controversy with the Mayavadis and also those who are,
right.
you know, brahminically, you know, unless you're born into my family or the whole leela of Dhruva Maharaj and Narada Muni is to establish that Krishna is willing to take service from and devotional service from anyone on any level.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
That's right. Yeah, okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes. Over there. Keshav, is your name? I don't know. I forgot your name.
So Narad was, he was dedicated to his father, Brahma.
He what?
I say he was dedicated to Brahma, in serving him. But the principle of children honoring their parent, especially their father, was very prevalent, especially in the Vedic culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very beneficial because the children, they imbibe so much good qualities, you know, and so forth. But that seems to be waning now, you know, that principle. It's going down. In the Western world, it's almost nil.
Exactly.
And in the Vedic world, it's also going down, you know. And so it might come to a stage where it's like animal living, you know. There's no more of that thing. I mean, do you want to say something about that? I mean,
yeah, well, I would say that why it's reducing in the Vedic culture is by the influence of the Western culture also. But another thing I find is that the devotees take better care of their parents, what I see, than if they had not been devotees. I see a lot of devotees, they go and they're with their parents' time of death, chanting. And I know there's one example of a mother in India. She had two sons, they both became brahmacharis. And then she got cancer. They brought her to a Pune temple, I think it was. It was a Back to Godhead article. And they were the ones taking care of her and everything. It was them. So I feel that with Krishna consciousness, then this will help to bring that back, because in the outside world, kids leave at an early age in America. I mean, you know, in their teenagers, some of them, they leave home, and that's it. But when they become devotees, they change. They change their attitude when they become mature. Yeah. Okay, Panchagoda.
You know, like in the 70s, 80s, or at least 70s, when Prabhupada was there, he was, "Where's so-and-so? Why he's not in Bhagavatam class?" And, "Oh, he's doing..." No, he has to be here. And Prabhupada is very emphatic on, you know, coming to the temple and following the rules and regulations, you know, Dhruva Maharaj was... We see... There seems to be a slacking nowadays, you know, as to cutting corners, not getting up, not coming for, you know, the programs or doing these kind of things. And it seems that very quickly things are deteriorating. So how to keep that high level of reverence and importance? If the temple commander or the temple president says something, immediately you would do it. But nowadays, who cares for the director or the temple president? You know, pretty much people are becoming more independently minded. So Dhruva didn't want to hear about Narada Muni telling him all these things, but then he gave him spiritual instruction ultimately to give him that. So what do we do to kind of imbibe in the younger, newer people who are coming that the importance of strictly following the order of the, and pleasing the spiritual master?
Well, I think Prabhupada answered the quote, the first quote I gave, the spiritual master thinks how to make it dynamic and exciting. So that's what you have to do. You have to, as the temple president.
I'm no good. I'm no good. What can I do?
Dynamic, yeah. And exciting. You have to make it.
Yes.
So they will come.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So the younger generation, I think one way to do it is have the younger generation give class too, more. Yeah.
I was thinking, when we value something, like, you know, IRS, why people are concerned about IRS, because money has a value, people keep track. When we value the daily practice sadhana, then we will maintain it and they will keep it in a high standard. Because without sadhana, is there any example anybody ever got saddha or goal, succeed? Never. I traced Kaliyas, that Krishna was by force putting the footprint. But two life before Kaliya, he was a Bedashira, he did the Kanchi Raj, he did sadhana. Even Muchukunda, when he met the Lord in the cave, not that he is done. No, he went to Badrikashram to do sadhana. So I think we have to promote the sadhana, value of morning program. We have to do it. I was thinking actually a few days, maybe you can help me. We really have to promote this among the devotees, the importance of morning hearing these five limbs of bhakti. Compulsory that Prabhupada made it so wonderful. He didn't say the hidden secret of it, but Mahaprabhu says anybody out of these five, especially Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says, do it little bit every day, will get love of God at guarantee. This has to be promoted. Maybe you can give us some idea how we can promote that.
Well, I just told you, you have to make it exciting and dynamic. So these, I think, exciting and dynamic, Prabhupada says.
Exciting and dynamic.
Yeah, so I think you need to inspire some of the younger generation to come and lead the Mangal Arati Kirtan and give the class. Like one day a week, maybe, it can be for the Guru Kulis.
Well, yeah, definitely, always. One thought is the great glorious 70s, everybody was young in the movement.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have all these old people there, you know, fetching, you know. No, I mean, in a very Christian conscious way. So, you know, they're young and they're enthusiastic. So I think there's something to be like, set, and of course, Prabhupada was very mature, and you know, he's Prabhupada, and he knew how to keep it all balanced and in perspective. But there's something to be said, you know, for engaging that youthful energy. You know, I mean, Prabhupada brought those nasty Americans to India, and before that, it was kind of dormant, comparatively speaking. And that young, youthful energy really kind of reinvigorated something in India. You know, so. You know, there's something to be said for, you know, let the young people be young people, you know, and engage the Christian consciousness.
Because I remember one quote Prabhupada says that you have to be conscious that you are Krishna conscious. You have to be conscious that if you are Krishna conscious or not. So that means we have to elevate everybody's consciousness. And without the sadhana, I don't know how
There is never any recommendation without sadhana anybody can elevate their consciousness.
At least we are talking,
thinking, hopefully something will happen.
You have a hand up too? Okay, okay, hold on.
So I'm thinking also for those devotees that have time, they're not working, they're not going to college, and so those that have time should make a conscious effort to attend Prabhupada program and set a good example for the rest. So when we have a good temple full of devotees here, the younger devotees would see, and when they have time, they would come. Or at least like in the weekends and so, they have time, they can come also. So if we make that, like even the Muslim really, look, the whole Muslim world, they pray five times, you know what I mean? And it's, or well, most of them really, you know, and they don't have anything so attractive there really. They don't see Allah or they don't see anything. They just, you know, they just do it. So we should at least, for the devotees that have time, make a conscious effort and attend the programs, not look at it on your computer at home. A lot of devotees are saying that way. Make a conscious effort and come and set an example, you know, and be a Prabhupada man. Dedicate yourself to Prabhupada program, and then the others would follow.
Okay, up here there's Pundari.
What?
This is kind of, and just an antidote or that kind of covers all of these things, these points. I mean, we have our aphorism, what do you call it, aphorism? The books are the basis. The purity is the force.
Purity is the force.
Purity is the force. There was in Vrindavan, when we first got there, practically the construction of the samadhi had practically stopped, and I remember that sometimes there was a vulture sitting on the top, and Hamsuru Prabhu had air guns, so he'd shoot them off. That wouldn't hurt them, just scare them away. And then there was one day as we got together and we formed that Samadhi Now committee. Damodar Pandit was there, and we made a committee of local devotees to fund the construction of the samadhi. And the next day, I think that's what they said, Dhruva said, he said there was a peacock sitting on top of the samadhi. And everybody was so pleased. It was so much difference between the vulture and the peacock. And somebody gave, he gave an example that, because that mid-80s, there was some gurus falling down and everything. So, the example was that on the Vyasa-san, if a person is like a peacock, everybody comes to hear and enjoys. But if someone is like, you know, has a different quality, so the purity is the real, one has to set example. The father has to set example for his children. Command, what do you say? Command respect, not demand, they say.
That's okay. Okay. Jai. Aglai Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.